www.kenyo. Just tell me already.
It's 1073edge.com.
Hi, this is Robert Smith of The Cure.
Hi, this is Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
107.3 The Edge.
It's always a shock when we hear that a rock star has died. But when the news about Chris Cornell came out on May 18th, 2017, that was extra jarring. The overall impression was that he was a guy who had it good. He'd been a central fixture of the grunge era as the frontman of Soundgarden. There was a totally unexpected hit with Temple of the Dog, that project. And then a solid 3-album run with Audioslave. His solo recordings were hit and miss, but given everything else he'd done, fans gave him a pass when he stumbled. Then there was the Soundgarden reunion, which began in 2010 and ran for almost 8 years. There was a new album, King Animal, in 2012, and a bunch of sold-out tours. There were also plans for a second post-reunion record, for which Chris had already recorded some vocal takes. But then he was gone, by his own hand in that hotel room in Detroit. Another member of the doomed grunge brigade, joining Kurt Cobain, Andrew Wood, and Layne Staley. And it's possible that Chris's fate had a fatal effect on his good friend Chester Bennington, who took his own life 2 months later. Chris may be gone, but we're still talking about him, still listening to his music, still marveling at that voice. As with all great artists, the fascination continues long after he's left this planet. Let's take a dive into Chris's world with 10 interesting things about the man that you may not have known.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
Chris Cornell covering Patience, the Guns N' Roses song. We first heard that on July 20th, 2020, the day that would have been Chris's 56th birthday. And then it was included on a posthumous album of cover versions released on December 11th of that year. It was called No One Sings Like You Anymore, Volume 1, which you may recognize as a line from the Soundgarden song Black Hole Sun. It collected Chris singing material by Janis Joplin and John Lennon, ELO, Prince, and more. He loved playing covers. Chris had been working on these recordings for a couple of years and had been planning to release it as a solo project, but of course, he never got to see that happen. When it did come out, it was during the bad days of the pandemic. And hearing these songs, knowing that Chris was no longer with us, kind of added to the mood of the whole world at that time. If you knew about that album at all, because it kind of snuck in under the radar just before Christmas when things were pretty bleak and everybody was in lockdown. So if that record escaped your attention, you're forgiven. We had other things going on. Hello again, I'm Alan Cross, and because Chris is still very much part of the rock scene, those songs from Soundgarden and Audioslave are not going away anytime soon, I thought it was time to look back at his career and highlight 10 things that were special about the man and or things that you might not have known about Chris. This also gives us an excuse to play some songs from Chris's career. So we'll count that posthumous record as interesting item number one. So let's move on to interesting thing number two. He got some very early breaks in the music business because he worked in a kitchen. In the very early 80s, long before Soundgarden was a thing, Chris worked at a Seattle restaurant called Ray's Boathouse. He started as a teenager when his older brother Peter got him a job. He worked his way up from dishwasher and eventually worked his way to busboy and then sous chef. Outside of work, he was messing around with music, specifically playing drums. Peter Cornell introduced another dishwasher to Chris, and the two of them started jamming. And that's when Chris first started to sing. He would have been around 17 at the time. At the annual staff Christmas party, a two-man band was hired for entertainment. And at some point in the evening, Chris got up from his table, grabbed the mic, and launched into a spontaneous version of Twist and Shout. And nobody had heard him before, and nobody could believe the power of this kid's voice. Chris was in a cover band called The Shimps, and they played the occasional gig around the city. That group included bass player Hiro Yamamoto. And a little later, Soundgarden came together with a maintenance worker from the restaurant named Scott Sundquist on drums, who would later be replaced, of course, by Matt Cameron. So then, Chris, Hiro, and Scott were joined by guitarist Kim Thayil. And that would be the original lineup of Soundgarden from 1984. And then, in 1985, that version of Soundgarden made their first recordings. Three of them appeared on a compilation entitled Deep Six, issued by a local label called CZ Records. Here's a track called Heretic.
Oh,
Item number three about Chris. He was a foodie. Now, that's probably not much of a surprise. Chris did work his way up to sous chef at Ray's Boathouse before moving on to the Rain City Grill, also a Seattle restaurant. Somewhere in between, he worked as a fish handler for a seafood warehouse. He liked the vibe of high-end dining so much that he dreamed of opening his own place one day. And not long after, Soundgarden began to take off, and that became his full-time job. But working in restaurants instilled a love of cooking and food in Chris. In 2006, he opened a high-end restaurant in Paris called Black Calvados. This was just across from the Four Seasons Hotel and about five blocks from the Champs-Élysées. Years ago, it had been a hangout for celebrities visiting the cities. During the renovations, they discovered a ceiling fresco that dated back to the 1780s. Cool place. The new restaurant was a joint venture with his wife, Vicky, and his brother-in-law, Nicholas, who also went by the name DJ Nick Blast. Both he and Vicky were raised in restaurant families, so it kind of made sense for the three of them to get into the restaurant business. And Chris called this a restaurant slash bar where you could go in Paris to hear rock music. The menu was interesting. Caramelized quail, peanut butter sole, truffled mac and cheese, and even gourmet hot dogs. The interior was very black, designed by a guy who came up with the annual Victoria's Secret fashion show. And the place was very popular for a while, sometimes not closing until 7 in the morning. Sounds like a great place, but unfortunately it did not last, and it closed after a couple of years. But that's the restaurant business. Let's play something. In 1991, Soundgarden released an album that became one-third of the Holy Trinity of grunge records. The first was Pearl Jam's 10, released on August 27th, 1991. Then a month later, it was Nirvana's Nevermind. And then finally, on October 8th, it was Soundgarden's Superunknown. One of the most popular songs from that record was Rusty Cage, but have you ever heard the studio outtake version? on to Chris Cornell, item number four. Early in the 1990s, director Cameron Crowe wrote a script for a movie he called Singles. It was set in Seattle and featured a bunch of Gen X characters trying to find their place in the world. Crowe cast a bunch of local musicians. Eddie Vedder, Jeff Amont, and Stone Gossard show up as members of a fictional band called Citizen Dick. Alice in Chains appears performing in a club. And at one point in the film, this is where Matt Dillon is showing Bridget Fonda the new stereo he installed in her car, Chris Cornell walks up to see what's going on. He doesn't say anything, but the very next shot is of Chris and Soundgarden on stage. Now, back to Stone for a second. When he was trying to come up with names for this fictional band with Matt Dillon, he wrote down Spoon Man. After the movie wrapped, Chris took that list and used the discarded band names that Stone had written down for song titles that he was going to write for Soundgarden, and he began writing material for the soundtrack. Here is the version of Spoon Man Soundgarden wrote and recorded for Singles. Only a very short snippet makes the film, and it wasn't until 2017 that the full original version was released. It's a bit different from the one you may know. Here it is. With more of our list of 10 interesting things about Chris Cornell in just a sec.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
Please take notes. There will be a quiz.
107.3, The Edge.
When you get into a new Tundra,
You might suddenly find yourself towing a vintage wooden boat to the lake. Not because you know anything about boats or wood, but because you know you can. All that's left to do is drive it home. Get in and go right now at Toyota, where you can lease a 2025 Tundra 4x4 double cab SR5 from $154 weekly for 60 months at 5.19% with $6,699 down. Visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Prairie Toyota dealer today.
Hey, honey, did you see our heating bill this month? Wow.
Don't remind me. We're wasting too much money because of our old windows.
WindowMart is a trusted partner for windows and door replacement projects. Book your free in-home consultation today at windowmart.ca.
Thanks to IKEA, my bedroom feels extra sleepy. These new blackout curtains keep it extra dark, and my new duvet keeps me extra cozy. But it also made my nighttime extra boring because the monster under my bed is sleeping better too. Hey, buddy, wake up. Hey.
Don't scare me like that. What are you trying to do to me? Jeez.
Visit IKEA today and start sleeping better tomorrow with everything you need for the bedroom of your dreams.
Is it your time for the win of a lifetime? Because it's Calgary Stampede Lottery's time. Win over $2.3 million in prizes, including the $1.49 million Dream Home. Buy tickets today for a chance to win our early bird prize, a 2025 GMC Yukon Denali, valued at over $100,000. Get your tickets before time runs out at calgarystampede.com/lotteries. Tickets sold only in Alberta. 18 plus, please play responsibly. License number 730-163-165 and 166.
Let's go!
Cheers. So much flavor.
Cheers. Cheers.
It's time to get warmed up.
This is going to be one hell of a competition.
What'd you guys make? The winning meal.
Wow.
There's a party happening in my mouth.
I'm here and I'm hungry.
Whoa. I love to cook.
Ooh, I was called a chef.
I must be doing something right.
This spring, only on Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Hellman's, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
We're looking at 10 random things from the life and career of Chris Cornell. Item number 5 has to do with his lifelong struggles with mental health, drugs, and alcohol. Chris was a loner growing up, one of 6 kids raised by a single mother who was an alcoholic. His estranged father was an alcoholic too. Chris grew very quiet and anxious. His best moment came when he discovered a box of Beatles records at a neighbor's place, and rock music became the way he dealt with how he was feeling. At 12, he was drinking, smoking up, and sneaking prescription meds. He quit for a while, but tried PCP at 14 and had a very bad experience, which left him even more depressed and anxious. He quit only to start drinking and smoking up again at 15. The anxiety, the depression, and the panic attacks followed him for years. Let me read you something from a 1996 interview when he opened up about depression. This is Chris speaking. No one really knows what run-of-the-mill depression is. You'll think that someone has run-of-the-mill depression, and then the next thing you know, they're hanging from a rope. It's hard to tell the difference, but I do feel that depression can be useful. Sometimes it's just chemical. It doesn't seem to come from anywhere. And whenever I've been in any kind of depression, I've over the years tried not to only imagine what it feels like not to be there, but to try to remind myself that I could just wake up the next day and it could be gone, because that happens, and, you know, not to worry about it. At the same time, when I'm feeling great, I remember the depression and think about the differences in what I'm feeling and why I would feel that way, and not be reactionary one way or the other. You have to realize that these are patterns of life and you just go through them. Chris was able to manage things throughout Soundgarden's existence, but when they broke up in 1997, the same time his marriage was failing, he went big into drugs, including heroin and Oxy. He finally checked into rehab in 2002, and by 2005, he was entirely sober, except for the prescription drugs. We'll get to that at the end. Remember I said that box of Beatles records got Chris into rock? Much later, Soundgarden would cover the band.
Yeah.
Interesting Chris Cornell item number 6. He was almost killed in a car accident when he was recording his second solo album. On October 24th, 2006, he was riding his motorcycle through the Studio City area of Los Angeles when he collided with a truck. Now, details are sketchy. Most reports say that he was rear-ended by this truck, but others say it was a front-end collision. Whatever happened, the collision knocked him 20 feet in the air and completely destroyed his $50,000 bike, a really nice custom chopper. But Chris was able to dust himself off and return to the studio later that day to continue working on the record. He had lots of cuts and bruises, but, you know, given what could have happened to him. That second album included this song, which he recorded for Casino Royale, the film that introduced Daniel Craig as the new James Bond. Interesting Chris Cornell item number 7 has to do with the bold but ultimately doom change in direction with his third solo album. He teamed up with rapper and producer Timbaland to record an album that, well, confused fans and friends. Gone were the guitars and rock sounds, and in were beats created by Timbaland. Out was the heavy rock, and in was more of a pop, kind of hip-hop approach. At first, people were curious, and the album debuted at number 10 on the charts. But then the following week, it dropped 55 spots, making it one of the biggest falls from the top 10 in chart history. Reviews were, we'll say that they were mixed, just to put it kindly. Even Trent Reznor felt he had to say something, quoted as saying that Chris had embarrassed himself. The title track was one of the singles. Now, let's have a listen to see if things have improved with age. Okay, in all honesty, that actually sounds better than what I remember. Maybe I need to go back and listen to the whole thing. Three more interesting facts about Chris Cornell to go. They're all coming up in seconds.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
No one knows more about this shit than Alan Cross.
107.3, The Edge.
Car thieves today don't need keys. They're using advanced tech to hack into your vehicle in seconds. But Right Restyling has the solution. The Igla Anti-Theft System. It's invisible, fully integrated with your factory remote and start button, and designed to stop high-tech theft before it starts. Protect your ride today with Igla from Right Restyling. Make your auto dreams into reality. Don't make Right Restyling your first call. Make them your only call. Get your quote today at rightrestyling.com.
When you get into a new RAV4, you might suddenly find yourself camping. Even if the closest you've been to nature is your houseplants. Because with all-wheel drive, you can get in and right out of there. All that's left to do is drive it home. Get in and go right now at Toyota, where you can lease a 2025 RAV4 LE all-wheel drive from $96 weekly for 60 months at 6.59% with $3,899 down. Visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Prairie Toyota dealer today.
Thanks to IKEA, my bedroom feels extra sleepy. These new blackout curtains keep it extra dark, and my new duvet keeps me extra cozy. But it also made my nighttime extra boring, because the monster under my bed is sleeping better too. Hey, buddy, wake up. Hey.
Don't scare me like that. What are you trying to do to me? Jeez.
Visit IKEA today and start sleeping better tomorrow with everything you need for the bedroom of your dreams.
Say hello to the sounds of summer and the taste of something delicious. Save-On Foods' new signature summer flavors. Fresh cheddar onion and ale or teriyaki pineapple burgers. Smoky Canadian maple rotisserie chicken marinated with maple syrup and spices. Our signature salsa, sweet and tangy. And don't forget our signature Saskatoon berry pie, baked fresh in store. Savor summer flavors. Get them before they're gone. Only at Save-On Foods.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
Here are a couple more interesting things about Chris Cornell. This is item number 8, and it has to do with why Soundgarden broke up in 1997. At the time, Chris was married to a woman named Susan Silver. This was an issue because not only was she the manager of Alice in Chains and Screaming Trees, she was also the manager of Soundgarden, and she was married to the lead singer. So, no conflict of interest there. That relationship added to all kinds of tension within the band, and it was so bad that it was reported that each member took their own bus or plane when traveling between gigs. After the band broke up, Chris and Susan stayed together for another 5 years before divorcing in 2002. It was not amicable. In 2006, when Chris was with Audioslave, he filed a complaint with the California Labor Commission alleging that Susan violated something called the Talent Agency Act when it came to booking gigs for Soundgarden. Cutting to the chase, Chris and the other members of Soundgarden claimed that Susan booked gigs for the band when she didn't have the right to. Something about a manager performing the work of an agent without a talent agent's license. I know, it's a bit weird. The suit also asked that Susan return any money she made in 2005 from anything involving Soundgarden. It was also alleged that Susan was spitefully retaining possession of Chris's music library and his Grammy Awards. Some guitars may have been involved, too. Item number 9, and there's no way around it, we have to talk about the night Chris died. The facts are these. On May 17th, 2017, Chris went back to room 1136 at the MGM Grand Hotel in Detroit following a Soundgarden show. Out in Los Angeles, Chris's wife Vicky noticed that the lights in the house were flickering on and off. She knew that Chris had an app on his phone that allowed him to operate the lights of the house remotely no matter where he was. Why was he doing this now from his Detroit hotel room? It seemed odd. So she called him at 11:35 that night. This is 20 minutes after Chris stepped off stage. Martin Kirsten, his bodyguard, had been with him during that time. He fixed something on Chris's computer, gave him a couple of Ativan tablets, there's those prescription drugs I was talking about earlier, to help him come down from the show and sleep. Martin then went back to his room, which was just two doors down the hallway. Ativan, in case you don't know, is the brand name of lorazepam, an anti-anxiety drug for which Chris had a prescription. Chris was alone when Vicky called. Again, this is about 11:35. He spent some time on the phone with her, and she says he sounded groggy and anxious and slurring his words. Chris said he was fine. He was just really tired and that the Ativan was kicking in. The call ended, but Vicky was worried about Chris's state of mind. What happened with Chris over the next half hour is still unknown. Vicky called the bodyguard and asked him to check on Chris. He went back to room 1136 at around 12:15, but Chris's door was locked and no one was answering the knocks. He called hotel security for help from a house phone in the hallway, but they were no help, saying that because he wasn't registered to that room, they couldn't let him in for security reasons. Martin was so frustrated and concerned that he kicked in the door. Chris was nowhere to be found in the main part of the suite. Then Martin checked the bathroom. The door was locked. He kicked his way in and found Chris on the floor with blood running from his mouth and a red exercise band around his neck. He wasn't breathing. A hotel medic arrived at 12:56. An ambulance was summoned and arrived a few minutes later, but it was too late. At 1:30, Chris was pronounced dead. The official police report says the cause of death, suicide by hanging. About an hour and 15 minutes had elapsed since Kirsten was contacted by Vicky. Then the conspiracy theories kicked in as soon as the news came out. Why was there so much blood on the scene? It had to be foul play. Well, there was never any proof of that. Why did it take 41 minutes to get a medical team on the scene? Unknown. Vicky couldn't believe that this was a straight suicide. There had to be extenuating circumstances. She was on the phone literally minutes after Chris was declared dead with an insurance lawyer named Kirk Paich. A toxicology report had determined that Chris did have the Ativan in his blood at the time of his death, along with unknown barbiturates and, interestingly, the anti-opioid drug naloxone. And what was that all about? The presence of that in his blood has never been explained, nor was a head injury that was mentioned in two clinical reports, but not in the autopsy. Following the autopsy, Vicky released this statement. Many of us who know Chris well noticed that he wasn't himself during his final hours and that something was very off. We have learned from this report that several substances were found in his system. After so many years of sobriety, this moment of terrible judgment seems to have completely impaired and altered his state of mind. Something clearly went terribly wrong, and my children and I are heartbroken and are devastated that this moment can never be taken back. In 2018, Vicky filed a lawsuit against Dr. Robert Coblin, who had a practice in Beverly Hills. He was the guy who prescribed Chris the Ativan. The contention was that Chris, a former addict, should have never been prescribed the Ativan and other drugs in the first place, saying that the doctor gave dangerous, mind-altering, controlled substances to Chris Cornell, which impaired Mr. Cornell's cognition, clouded his judgment, and caused him to engage in dangerous, impulsive behaviors that he was unable to control, costing him his life. That lawsuit was settled out of court in May 2021 without the doctor admitting any negligence or wrongdoing. Ativan can have some side effects, and according to the Mayo Clinic, thoughts or attempts at killing oneself is listed as a possible side effect. But that the incidence of this kind of thing, that kind of thinking, after taking Ativan, is not well known. Bottom line is that we'll never know what Chris was thinking over that crucial final 30 minutes that led to his death. Finally, item number 10. Vicky Cornell was involved in many, many lawsuits following her husband's death, mostly with the three remaining members of Soundgarden. The first suit was filed by Vicky and involved two things. First, the rights to seven vocal tracks that Chris left behind on his laptop. These were demos recorded in early 2017 that appeared to be destined for a new Soundgarden album. She also sued over the disbursement of Soundgarden royalties. Soundgarden filed a countersuit, alleging that Mickey misappropriated proceeds from a 2019 tribute concert for personal means. I quote, "Representation was false or exhibited recklessness and negligence as to the truth or falsity for the purpose and intent of inducing Soundgarden into agreeing to perform at the Cornell concert without compensation." Vicky shot back with a counter-countersuit, saying that Soundgarden did get paid and that their suit was salacious, scurrilous, and vicious. Things continued to get murky as both sides went to war over things like social media, Chris's posthumous participation in any band activities, for example, any new recordings or videos, and a ludicrously low buyout offer. Lawyers and accountants made a mint as each side called in professionals for legal advice, accounting, and auditing. There was a complaint filed in 2021 where Vicky said that she offered each of the three remaining members of Soundgarden a $4 million U.S. settlement for their interests in the band, which they refused. When the offer was up to $7 million, they still refused. There was also some dispute over the sharing of financial data that could be used to determine Chris's value to the partnership that was Soundgarden. Soundgarden replied, "This dispute has never been about money or the band. This is their life's work and their legacy." But then, April 17th, 2023, a settlement was announced. The seven songs will be finished and released. Let's get one more song in here. This is Chris performing with Audioslave as part of a live session for the BBC. ¶¶ a moment.
The ongoing history of alternative rock. We're all doing some learning.
107.3, The Edge.
This is The Real Tea Minute. Gord Gillies here with his friend Len T. Wong. Hello, Len.
Hi, Gord.
Let me talk a little bit more about what we're seeing so far in 2025. Balanced market, is that a good way, easy way to describe it?
Yeah, I think the last year, this time in the first quarter, we were actually more of a buyer's market last year. And so what do you see in this year with the economy and all those things and some uncertainty, volume sales is down about 20 to 25% overall from last year this time.
So that's a good thing then if you're buying?
Yeah, what has happened is that there's more inventory coming out on the marketplace and we're not having as many multiple offers and as much activity. So what we've seen is we've seen the market level out a lot.
From a seller's perspective then, don't expect multiple bids anymore maybe.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to always keep the fundamentals of making sure that your house is always prepped right, set right, and also be in the marketplace, not price it high, price it where it should be.
Len T. Wong and Associates from Greater Property Group, the city you love and the agents you trust. Call or text Len at 403-606-8888.
Thanks to IKEA, my bedroom feels extra sleepy. These new blackout curtains keep it extra dark, and my new duvet keeps me extra cozy. But it also made my nighttime extra boring, because the monster under my bed is sleeping better too. Hey, buddy, wake up. Hey.
Don't scare me like that. What are you trying to do to me? Jeez.
Visit IKEA today and start sleeping better tomorrow with everything you need for the bedroom of your dreams.
When you get into a new Tundra, you might suddenly find yourself towing a vintage wooden boat to the lake. Not because you know anything about boats or wood, but because you know you can. All that's left to do is drive it home. Get in and go right now at Toyota, where you can lease a 2025 Tundra 4x4 Double Cab SR5 from $154 weekly for 60 months at 5.19% with $6,699 down. Visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Prairie Toyota dealer today.
Come on in to Home Network.
Welcome home!
And find experts who feel like family.
This is spectacular.
I was not expecting this.
Ideas to inspire your everyday.
Brilliant. Beautiful.
And stories that will touch your heart.
Oh my God!
I love that big family hug.
There's no place like it. Welcome to Home Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by ColorSpark Paint. It starts with a spark.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
One more bonus fact before we finish up. Chris Cornell died by hanging on May 18th, 2017. That was 37 years to the day that Joy Division singer Ian Curtis hanged himself in his kitchen. 2 months after Chris died, July 20th, 2017, which would have been Chris's 53rd birthday, his close friend Chester Bennington of Linkin Park died by suicide. Again, it was a hanging. Chris was cremated and his ashes interred at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Los Angeles. The tombstone reads, "Voice of our generation and an artist for all time." He's right next to a cenotaph for Johnny Ramone, another friend. Chester Bennington's family had the option of placing his remains in a plot right next to Chris's, but they decided on another location.